Julia Faipoti is with us for a kōrero, the Tata Urutahi, or shared leader at the Human Rights Commission. Thanks for joining us on the show today, Julia. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. It's good to talk again.
Thanks again. The Human Rights Commission made presentations to the UN last week, and one of the key issues was the National Preventative Mechanism is that Māori are grossly overrepresented across all detention settings. Can you tell us about the Human Rights Commission reporting to the UN? How often does that happen?
We had our acting chief commissioner presenting to the UN. We do this every 5 years. The United Nations calls for it's a universal periodic review, which takes place every 5 years in Geneva. And it's where member states, of which Aotearoa is one, to the United Nations, go and report back on how we are doing since over the last 5 years and in upholding human rights. A national human rights institution in Aotearoa, the Human Rights Commission, we have a role as non-government to play a monitoring role. So we get the opportunity to go across before that hui occurs. It's happening at the end of April in Geneva, where our government has to go front, and many kāwana agencies around the world have to go front the United Nations and report back and face questions. So we get the opportunity to report back as a human rights monitor here in Aotearoa to say, hey, these are things that you need to be paying attention to. These are areas that we are not doing well in, or where we have progress or where more progress is required.
Okay, well, obviously the presentations made to the UN is about the inequitable incarceration rates of Māori. What are some of the main points about detention settings in New Zealand that you raised with that forum?
One of the main points is, as is unfortunately well known to us but never acceptable, is that in all detention settings, which isn't just prisons, it's prisons, police cells, it's where it's defined as any place where you cannot leave freely. So that's also mental health settings. What we have found is that in every detention setting, Māori are overrepresented. So we know in terms of police, in terms of that 30% of people that police proceed against are Māori, 45% of people that are convicted are Māori, and we know over half prison population is Māori, and that's even higher for our wahine Māori, where we make up 16% of our population, but almost 70% of the female prison population. So we find is that in the places of detention, it's majority Māori, and then within this, so there's a convention called the we signed up to the optional protocol to the Convention Against Torture. So what we find is when we monitor within the places of detention that Māori also experience inequitable treatment and things such as limited access to any cultural safe practices. It's something that we should always be, we don't want our whānau in these places of detention, and when people are in places of detention, they should be cared for. And so what we're finding is that it's predominantly Māori in there, and also ones less likely to experience the care that should be upheld under this convention.
Obviously, moves against Māori, even the focus on beneficiaries and the threats that have been issued about those who haven't been attending interviews as expected, that benefit sanctions will result. This could too, or undoubtedly will, affect many Māori whānau who for many reasons find themselves as beneficiaries, some for long term. But it will have implications, won't it? Is the Human Rights Commission keeping its eye on this?
As Te Kahu Tika Tangata, as the Commission, we're really clear about upholding the rights of all whānau in New Zealand, and we know centering that is around Te Tiriti and He Whakaputanga as founding constitutional rights documents. And what that means at the end of the day, what that gives expression to is rights for whānau to live with dignity. So whatever, and this is something that we that is part of our role in monitoring when we go to international standards and go, hey, you know, lots of our governments, whatever colour they are, you know, we like to hold ourselves highly as upholding human rights and being the beacon of that, but we're here to shine the lights and say when it's not occurring and what needs to change. And centred to that is, of course, like, for all New Zealanders have the right to live with dignity and to have their rights honoured. It shouldn't be about whether you can afford to access your human rights. The secret's in the title, human rights. If you are a tangata, if you are a human, then you have inherent rights. And that's something that we have an obligation to be monitoring and to uphold. And particularly in my role as a tata urutahi, as one of the shared leaders of the Human Rights Commission, you know, for sure, centering, I mean, the secret's in the name, it's shared leader, tino ranga te tanga. So it's really about upholding the ability for our whānau to exercise tino ranga te tanga, and we'll be keeping an eye for sure on things that are occurring. But more importantly, I think it's important that we just shine a light on what is right, and for all Māori, for all people in this country to live and reach our potential.
Pride Week, and it's a photo opportunity for politicians. Do you think that they legislatively have accommodated the changing attitudes by New Zealanders towards issues of diversity?
Well, it's really interesting because Te Kahu, Te Kitangata, I think, you know, whatever politicians of the day, they have, this is not new rhetoric that we are hearing. And I'm no doubt that there will be more rhetoric that occurs, you know, in my lifetime. That sounds very similar. But just attending Waitangi this year, you can see that what has shifted is actually there are a lot of people that give life to Te Tiriti that have an understanding of what Aotearoa looks like and the unique privilege it is to have, you know, to stand on the land with Te Tiriti, to stand on the land recognising mana of tangata whenua. So I think it is, you know, in spite of whatever rhetoric may come through, and we've seen this in the Human Rights Commission did a survey last year about, for example, on Te Tiriti, and many whānau don't want it to go into this political discussion realm. They want to acknowledge, to see how it recognises, you know, it is a fact of our nation, it's a constitutional fabric of our nation. And so I think where there's rhetoric that occurs, whatever it is, that actually isn't a true reflection of where people are moving to. And for us as Te Kahui, Te Kitangata, it's really important that we are just holding the line on what are fundamental rights in Aotearoa. And of course, you know, starting in this land, the first peoples of this tangata whenua, recognising that mana and status in relationship with tangata tiriti. And that's something that I'm particularly committed to in this mahi, at the Commission and beyond, of course.
Tēnā koe, just finally, so you've furnished the documents, expressed how hoha we are with what's happening with incarceration rates for our people, Julia. What happens to the recommendations that you placed at the table of the UN?
So the recommendations we've done are a summary of a group of monitors, and part of that is to ensure like an intensified honouring of Te Tiriti or Waitangi and how places of detention function. And I think that's a wider question for us as Māori because we didn't have places of detention, but it's a question for Māori to look at making sure that there's a timeline on government, placed on government, to reduce the detention rates of Māori and to reduce harmful practices. Well, obviously eliminate harmful practices and to intensify opportunities around cultural support. That's another question around whether that can occur in places of detention. So we put that there. What happens is that governments around the world go in front of the UN at the end of April. And what is good about this pre-hui, it's pretty much a pre-hui, where we get to say, hey, shine a light, these are the issues that we see. You need to hit up our government about this and say, what are they doing? And so our government representatives will go in front at the end of April. And based on these... based on what we've shared and other monitoring groups have shared, we'll likely face questions on this. And then the United Nations, they have the opportunity to, then they report back to New Zealand and say, these are the things you need to focus on. And the government, at the end of the day, they can choose to accept or not to follow those recommendations, but we've signed up to it and we have to show up every 5 years. So it's a bit embarrassing to show up and say, you haven't done anything or you've ignored the United Nations recommendations. So this is really an international pressure on the government to show up in front and respond to what we've laid down based on are based on actually monitoring the physical locations on over the last 5 years. So it is really international pressure and spotlight on our government to receive that from the United Nations, and then also there's a pressure to respond because we'll be shown back up in 5 years as well to report how things have changed or not.
And no doubt we'll get a chance to talk about it plenty too going forward. All the best with the mahi. Thanks for sharing some perspectives with our peeps. Yummy.
Yum, mahi.
Tēnā koe. Julie Faipoti kindly joining us, recorded all today from the